We're still in Perikut Tes. On the top, it's page 48. And the top is page 48. I don't know what it is at the bottom. 7980. 5 lines in the bottom. Yeah, the second page of Perikut Tes. Now, Rebbe was explaining why Shlomo HaMelech compares the neshama of a yid to a candle. And he explained, it's just like a candle flickers because the flame wants to leave the wick. Even though through this is going to become non-existent and it will become completely ice, completely nothing, this is the nature of the candle. The same thing, the nature of the neshama is to leave the body, to become connected to Elokus. Even though then the neshama won't be anything but Elokus, this is what the nature is of the neshama. And he says, why? Because the neshama comes from the level of Chochmah, which is Koyachma, the level of Bittul, and therefore by nature, the innate nature of the neshama is to become completely Bittul to Hashem. And he says, unlike evil. Evil is the complete opposite, the complete lack of Bittul. Like he said, the evil says, have, give this. And therefore they're called Yomusa V'lei B'chachma. Therefore evil is called dead. Because the only, like we finished off last week, the only true existence is Hashem. Because Hashem always was, is, and will be. And the definition of true existence is something that always was. Something that one time wasn't, and one time won't be. So even when it is not a real existence. Therefore, the only real existence in life, in the world, is Hashem, because Hashem always was, is, and will be. So he says, evil is this lack of bittul, and he says, v'chein ha'rishoyim ha'peshi Yisrael, so it is also the wicked people and the sinners. 5 lines in the bottom of the page. Kedem shabo lidei nisoyim, before they come to the test, l'kadish Hashem, to sanctify the name of Hashem, because like he's going to explain, every Jew, and like he explained before, the lowest of Jews, when push comes to shove, he's going to have Mesidus Nefesh. He's going to give up his life on Kiddush Hashem. But until then, he also exists from that level of evil, which is opposite of Chochmah, and opposite of existence. Why? Ki b'chinas ha-Chochmah she-benefesh ho-lekiz. Because this level of Chochmah, of the godly soul, which in the case of the neshama refers to the essence of the neshama. Him nitzutz alakus, with the spark of godliness, me'erin tzav baruch hu, from the revelation of Hashem, ha'malubashba, which is within this nefesh, he'mechinez golus begufam, is in the level of exile, v'nefesh habamis, in the animal soul, mitzad haklipa shebuchol la'asmon lishebalev, from the evil side, which is on the left side of the heart. I'll explain in a second. A melechus and meshelas begufam, which controls the body in the concept of seif golus hashchina, of the exile of the shchina, meaning every neshama has this level within it that's connected to Hashem. How is it possible if he's connected to Hashem to come to sin? Because if you're connected to Hashem, how do you come to sin? The answer is because this level of the neshama, which he calls the chokhmah of the nefesh, is in golus. It's in exile. It's completely concealed and hidden to the extent that there's no control. And that's the definition of golus. Golus, exile, means when you are not in control. If you are in control, you're not in golus. Golus is when something else controls you. When the nefesh of the Jew doesn't have control, it's because it's in golus, in the nefesh habamis, that controls it, that it doesn't have the ability to feel its connection with Hashem. If it doesn't feel its connection to Hashem, it's prone to sin. Both, it's the same thing. Yeah, godliness is not controlling golus. Evil dictates golus, not the lukus. It's the same concept. This is a mini golus, and this is the massive golus. Like we learned last week, we mentioned this. If you go home and you lock your door, you are not in jail. Well, you might be, but not because you locked your door. Why? Because if you lock the door, you can unlock the door. What is the definition of jail? Jail doesn't mean, golus doesn't mean when you're locked behind the door. Because in your own house every night you're locked behind the door. That's not golus. Why? Because you locked it, you can unlock it. Golus is when somebody else locks you in and you have no control to get out or not. If you lock yourself in a room, the lock breaks, you're tuck in jail. Right. Now the question is, if the nefesh olikis, if the nefesh is really bottled to Hashem, and it has this connection to Hashem, how do you come to sin? The answer is, because you don't feel the godly soul. Because you don't feel the godly soul, you chose, the person who sins, chose to do something against the will of Hashem. And therefore he continues, L'chein, top of the page, L'chein nikras avezu benefesh olikis. Therefore, this love that the godly soul has, this level of chokhmah, sheretzein of a chefza, that its will and desire is ledavka b'Hashem, to cling to Hashem, chaya chayim baruch hu, which is the source of life, is called b'shem ava mesuteres. This is a concealed love that Alter Rebbe was talking about before, that every Jew possesses. Why is it called hidden love? So he says, ki mesuteres, because it's concealed, u'mechusin, is covered, Belavush sack, in the sack covering of klipa, bepeisha Yisrael, amongst the sinners, umimano nichnas b'em, and from this level of evil enters into the person, ruach shtus, the fuller spirit, lachte to sin. We mentioned this in the past, but this is basic stuff in Chassidus, so to speak. The Gemara says a statement, Amar Ish Lakish, the only reason why a person sins, because a foolish spirit enters the person's mind, which would be called, like we said in America, temporary insanity. The problem is, in America, temporary insanity gets you off the hook, and then, by God, it doesn't get you off the hook. What does it mean, temporary shtus? Temporary insanity. That's what shtus is. Shtus is literally insanity. What's the shtus? The shtus is because the person, at the time they sin, doesn't feel that this is a complete cut-off from Hashem. They think, as Chassidus uses the expression, a denu b'yahadusei. They still think the same, I'm still a Jew. So I did this one aveda. It's not the end of the world. To bow down to an idol, well, you can't make such a mistake that you're still Jewish, so to speak. And so that, the Ruach Shtus can't even cover that, normally. What happens? Then, the Nefesh Olikis is pushed, so to speak, to such an extent that the hidden love comes out. The hidden connection with Hashem, because over there you can't make a mistake, I'm still connected. Like this, the point of connection is hidden. So therefore you think I'm still connected. The truth is, every sin, like we learned already, every sin is idol worshipping. No matter what the Aveda is idol worshipping. Why? Because if you believe in Hashem, and Hashem is standing, by definition, is omnipresent, he's all over the place, and Hashem is standing right in front of your face, and says, don't think this, don't say this, don't do this. Any Aveda. And Hashem is present, and in front of his face, you think it, do it, or say it. That's basically a denial of the existence of Hashem. So every sin, the truth is really Aveda Zara. what's the difference between every sin that every sin people do transgress and Avodah Zarah they won't? So the Gemara explains, because that's the Ruach Shtus. What's the Ruach Shtus? It covers over the Chochmah of the Nefesh Olikis. It covers over this connection between the Nefesh Olikis and godliness. It buries it, it controls it. And that person thinks, I'm still connected. So what if I did a little Avodah? I'm still a Jew. So that's what causes the person to sin. And therefore this love that the Neshama has innate within itself is called Ava Mesuteres. It's a hidden love. Where is it hidden? Under the sack of the Nefesh HaBamis, concealing it.
Why does it say Nichnas?
What should it say?
Because if we're talking about Yisra and Yisra 12, they're fighting with each other, is there any way inside is just the inside conflict? But Nichnas is as though something from outside is coming in.
Who is the boy? Nichnas Bahem. In whom? The Jew. The Yiddishkeit of the Jew. So the Ruach Shtus is the external force, like the Rambam says, which is not the real person. It's the external force that wants to cover what the real person really is. But that's not the person. The person, the Rambam says, wants to do good. The Yetzer Hara is an external force forcing him to go against his own nature. And that's why, like we learned, the whole concept of Kefenei Sashayim Reitzani, the person doesn't want to do a mitzvah. So many times the Gemara says, you beat him up until he says, I want to do it. Versus about Kabbalah, that I'm done by the get. You beat him up until he says, I'll do it. And it's called the Tzainai. It's called willingly. So the Rambam asks, how could it be called willingly if you beat up the guy? It's not willingly. You beat him up. So the Rambam explains, the truth is, every Jew wants to do good. Every Jew only wants to do good. A side, external, outside force, known as the Yetzer Hara, is coming to tell the person not to do what he really wants to do. So when you beat up the Yetzer Hara, and the person says, I want to do it, that's the real will of the person. So the Ruach Shtus is coming into the real person that really wants to do only good.
So you have two Yetzirah. One is come in when it was Chetei Tzadat, and you have other external force that it's come Nosafli, like what it was before?
No.
Before the Ed from Tzadat, Yetzirah was outside. After the Ed, it come inside.
Into Adam.
Into Adam, it's everybody else. Yes. It doesn't
when they're born,
out.
No.
It doesn't go out. They are in all time inside.
But
what it come in.
The Ruach Shtus is the Yetzer Hara talking to the person, telling the person not to do the mitzvah. That is now entering the Ruach Shtus. Is not the Yetzer Hara. The Ruach Shtus of the Yetzer Hara is coming into the person at the time of the Aveda, to tell him to do the Aveda. And that is blocking what the real person is. The Yetzer Hara could be sleeping. Then you don't have a Ruach Shtus. When the Yetzer Hara gives the idea to sin, that is the evil spirit that wants the temporary insanity, that wants to cover over the truth of the godly soul to do what only what's right.
It's not the Yetzer Hara, it's the Ruach Shtus of the Yetzer Hara that is awakening it.
That's the Ruach Shtus.
It wasn't there.
No, not for this particular verse, this particular time. So he says, this is the concept of the Ruach Shtus. K'maymer Azali, the Gemara says, Ein Adam Chayta, a person doesn't sin unless if the Ruach Shtus covers him. So he says, Elo, Shagolus Hazeh, this Golus of the covering over of the Neshama is Ein Alabchinas HaMispashatis Mimena B'Nefesh Kula L'Chayesa. This doesn't cover over the essence of the Neshama. This only covers over, like the Friedrich Rebbe says in the Maimir, the intellect and midos of the nefesh, the desires, the love and the fears, instead of loving alokus, you love evil. Okay, instead of using it to understand godliness, you'll use it to understand other things. That level is what the nefesh shabamis could cover. He says, "Avol sheirish ve'ikas shabchinas chacham shebenefesh sholikis." But the essence of the chacham of the nefesh sholikis, who b'meichen, is in the mind, and that remains always pure. But it's hidden, so it's called ava mesuteres. What we call in Yiddish the pintali yid, or the essence of the neshama, or you know the spark of the yid. And that essence, essential level of Chochmah, does not dress itself, is not covered over in the sack of Klipa Shebelev, in the level of Galus. All it is B'chinah Shina B'Risham, it's sleeping. It's not in Galus, it's not controlled by evil, but it's just dysfunctional because it's sleeping. What wakes it up? When you come to the Jew who's a completely non-religious and you hold a gun to his head and you say, are you Jewish or not? So then the nefesh wakes up. He says, yes, I am. But until then, it's inactive and therefore the revealed powers of the nefesh could sin because the essence is not having its input and it's not affecting the body in a way that it doesn't sin. So you have to give it a shuckle, you know, you have to wake it up a little bit. And sometimes, by the way, God does things to us that wakes it up. And sometimes somebody else wakes us up, but whatever, you know. Veine pe'elus pu'losak kol zman she'asukim b'daitam u'b'inasim b'tayves ha'elam. And therefore the chokhmah is sleeping as long as they're occupied in the worldly affairs. But when you come to a test, b'dvar emuna, in a question of faith, which is l'mayla mi'adas, which is above seichel, v'naga the nefesh, and it touches the soul, l'b'chinis chachma sheba, all the way to the level of chachma of the nefesh, azayhi n'ura mishnase, wakes up from his sleep, u'peyeles pu'lase, and it accomplishes its mission and its job, v'koyach Hashem, with the power of Hashem, amalu b'shbo, which is in it. This explains a very simple concept. You can have a Jew that's totally irreligious, and once in a while they give such a wake-up from their hibernation, they could be hibernating for 70 years. You know, like Cheni Amago, for 70 years. Or the guy who took a Ribran Winkle, that they took from Cheni Amago. Or you can hibernate for a year. You know, the Jews that hibernate for a year and they wake up Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The whole year they're sleeping, or Shon Yom Kippur they wake up. Why? Because also the nefesh wakes up at that time. During the year, the chachma of the nefesh alakis is really not affected by galus. It's not affected at all by galus, but it's sleeping. It's not controlled by galus. It's just not functioning. Sometimes it gets woken up. But the Rebbe explains, this is the concept of Ner Hashem Nishmasadam. The pintalid of the Jew, this has a natural, and by the way, the Jew can't even explain why he's doing it. Because you come to the Jew with a rationale, a whole year you sinned. You didn't act Jewish. All of a sudden, a guy holds a gun to your head, you wake up that you're Jewish. I mean, what happened? It's not a logical rationale or a logical explanation, and it doesn't have to be. The answer is because the guy's really a Jew. His Yiddishkeit was sleeping. Now it woke up. It woke up. But a lot of people, like the Alter Rebbe is saying, the Rishoyim and Pesach Yisrael, it only wakes up when it comes to a test of Amuna. Otherwise, it could even be sleeping.
So this only applies when it's a forced proposition for them, but not if the person is
like... I said sometimes Hashem could wake up the person out of the clear blue. Sometimes, as we know it happened many times, that a Rebbe thought about somebody and that itself woke the person up. I'm not going through the story. There's a famous story about this person in Australia that davened to Hashem to teach him Yiddishkeit, and then at that time the Rebbe sent somebody there. Okay, so he said many times, the lady, she's not alive anymore, but the lady said that, what is the Rebbe? She said that when a Jew on the other end of the world sighs, the Rebbe hears it. That's how she explained the Rebbe. And a person who knows Siddha said, the lady's wrong. It's not that a Rebbe is, that when a lady sighs at the other end of the world, the Rebbe hears it. The reason why the lady sighed at the other end of the world is because the Rebbe thought about her. So sometimes it can come with, God forbid, illness. Sometimes it could be somebody holding a gun to your head. Sometimes God can wake up the Jew by giving him a lot. Every person wakes up from different things. Some people wake up from tragedy. Some people wake up from blessings. The problem is most people wake up from tragedies, which is a shame. But the truth is, there are people that wake up not only from tragedies. There are people that wake up from something positive too. Sometimes it could be an outer force, sometimes it could be an internal force.
We wake up from their joy, their sin joy.
You wake up what?
If people really wake up from something good, as he said, good things to wake up.
Yeah, then God sends good things to wake them up sometimes. Everybody's different. The main thing is, though, that even a sleepy person, and this is what Alter Rebbe is saying, every Jew has it. You just have to reveal it because it's hidden. It's not something, like we said many times, it's not something you have to create in the Jew. It's there, it's the sleeping, you have to wake it up. There's a big difference in having to create it or just to wake it up. It's much easier to wake it up than to create it. So that every Jew has it. And that's why he says, Vayikatz kiyoshin Hashem, wake up from your sleep Hashem, lamed bin yisoyim, that the Jew can stand up in a test, b'amunas Hashem, in the amun of Hashem, b'li shum tam v'das v'seichel musig, without any rationale. Because if you stop to think for a second, somebody holds a gun to the Jew's head and says, are you or aren't you? Where's the logic? To say all of a sudden he wakes up and says, yeah, I'm a Jew. So where were you until now? It's not logical. He says, why? Lizgabir ala klipis, to overcome the evil, the tivus elam haza, and the temptations of the world. Behetiru be'isa, with permissible things, forbidden things. Shehurgu behem, that he was accustomed to until now. And the Jew now has the ability, v'limeis behem, to despise them. The Jew has an ability now to wake up, to despise the evil that they did. Or evil b'chlal. V'liv cholel Hashem, v'chalki v'gorlori, to pick Hashem as his portion and his share, limsa le'nafshi, mamish, to give over his nefesh, al kedusha shmei, for the sanctification of Hashem's name. He says, av ki aklip is gavra all of kol yamav, even though up to now, Klipa was dominating his life. Evil was dominating his life. And he wasn't able to overcome evil. Like the Gemara says, Rishoyim heim b'shus libam. Wicked people are controlled by their hearts. And Alter Rebbe says, which is a terrible punishment that the person has, by the way. A person that has no self-control, it's mamish, a curse. And it's a punishment from Hashem, that they have no self-control. And that's a Rasha. Yet this guy can make such a turnaround that even though up to now he didn't even have self-control because he had no control over evil, evil controlled him. So we learned many times, an addict is a person that has no control. If you have control, then you're not addicted. Addiction means when you have no control. So he says you're able to transform from being addicted to evil. That, yeah, like the Gemara says, Rishonim are controlled by their hearts, and to turn it around to the extent of Mesirat Nefesh to death. to despise evil.
So what level is a person who's just doing things because they've been doing it all their life and they have no feeling whatsoever what they're doing? Is it as if they're not doing it? Okay, they're doing it. The fact is they are doing
it. We're lucky there's an action world. Action counts. That's what counts.
But what's with the Neshama at that point? Could it be hidden at the same time while they're still doing the mitzvah?
The love of Hashem could be hidden.
So that they could be, practically speaking, at the same level of a person who's not doing anything. From a
yeah, but the fact that they're doing is a connection with Hashem already. They're openly connected. Here we're talking about a Rasha who's completely disconnected, and they make a complete turnaround. Person who does actions automatically connected. They might not feel it, but they're connected.
So I'm saying, so they're not.
They're much higher level.
They're not feeling it. Is saying what? Is it that Hashem has just become more hidden, or
is no, it's just that they didn't reach a level of open love of Hashem. But if the hidden love wouldn't be revealed, then they wouldn't be doing the mitzvahs either. Mm-hmm. The fact that they're doing the mitzvahs has to be some hidden love to Hashem. This person, the hidden love of Hashem is also hidden, until Mesiras Nefesh. Yeah, but habit still, the habit is also has to have some love of Hashem, because Hashem said so. There's an awareness of Hashem. Okay.